Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to this is the first episode of this new series that I'm doing while I'm in between concepts for season six of Recovery Soul Food. So I wanted to stay in the game. I wanted to stay here and keep myself in flow with y'all's energy and just continue to speak about what I love and be connected to you all. So I just want to do kind of a throwback to the early days where we do shorter, more inspirational and informative and motivational messages for the upcoming week. You know, this is a strange time we're in. A lot of things are changing. A lot of things are shifting quickly. In the mix of that, we're compounded with a lot of trauma as human beings, collectively as a whole, individually. This year is starting out, and in a lot of ways, the energy from 2023 is still at play here. So I just wanted to do these little healing messages, just to keep sowing back into the community, and because it does my heart good as well. And so thank you guys for being here. I don't know what's coming up for season six of Recovery Soul Food Podcast. I know it's going to be epic and it's going to be awesome. I can just feel it. You know, it just seems to keep, I love being witness to how it grows and how it changes. So, and I want to thank you guys for that. Always, always. Hey, no matter what I'm doing and or when I'm doing it, I'm always going to get you to pick up my good friend and my soul sister, Pamela Topchian's book, I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far. That's available on Amazon. I love this book. I love this resource and I love her. So pick it up. It's affordable for most everyone, to be honest. She's done it that way on purpose because that's just who she is. So I'm super excited to be here tonight. You know, what I wanted to talk about, I saw a post this week, and it was talking about generational curses. And I had not, I used to use that term a lot a few years ago. And I feel like that it is not actually the case that we, especially in the recovery community, coming out of the active addiction space, regardless of what that is, and being on a healing journey, sometimes we don't recognize that we are the one, like we're the blueprint. We have to have the bravery to be the blueprint. We're going to have to be the first. But when we talk about generational curses, we often talk about, it just puts a very negative and heavy feel to what we're actually doing. So I love the term ancestral healing more. And so a lot of what we're going through right now in this time and what you're going to be going through in this coming up week, because, you know, the energy is constantly changing. We're in a very fast-paced, fast-moving environment, very fast. You know, it's calling us to heal. Our good friend Jonathan England gave a message a few days ago that was just so amazing. He talks about 2024 is the year of miracles, because everything is mirroring back to us an area that we can expand, that we can grow, that we can heal, that we can accept, we can surrender. You know, it's so intense because it's asking us to do that. And what we really don't know is a lot of what we carry or a lot of what we're having to work through, maybe it didn't start with us. But if you're in this space, it can end with you. And not end in a way that it just seems indefinite, that you'll reach a place where there's no more work to do. But you can shift and change and heal the areas in a whole ancestral line. You know, again, a lot of what we're going through, a lot of what we're working through, it does, you know, a lot of it doesn't belong to us. It has come with us. And I guess if you're in a recovery space, especially if you're new to a recovery space, there is a very valid and valuable point that at some point you have to recognize something bigger than you. There has to be a why for you that's really bigger than you. In 2012, I had this wild awakening. And I don't want to use the term spiritual awakening because honestly, that term is so watered down that it's lost its true meaning, but also I wasn't spiritual. So I really didn't awaken to anything spiritual. I just awakened for the first time to the possibility that there had to be something else to me, to my life. If I had spent almost every day of 22 years trying and hoping to die, and then now I'm standing in this space in 2012 where something in me just broke open and said, we can't do this anymore. Either we got to do this and let it be done, or we can't do this anymore. And these awakenings begin to come at different chunks, and they all had their own meaning. And with all the blessings also came the burden of things, because it's not like we're going to put down the habit and life is going to get better. That's what uninformed people believe. That's what a lot of the general public believes about addiction, is that if you just stop doing that, your life will be fine. Your life will get better. And that is a very hard pill to swallow when we recognize that that is not the case. There is so much energy we have set in motion that how many times has it happened to you or somebody you know? You get in rehab and all of a sudden your warrants start catching up to you. Or all of a sudden you get evicted, or you something huge starts happening. And it's tempting to say, this isn't for me. It's tempting to tell ourselves a story that we're somehow victimized, that we're doing the right thing and bad stuff keeps happening. But see, we've got to understand we've set this energy in motion. And to start to have these awakenings within your life, these moments of clarity that you're coming to in the midst of all this chaos, if you're open to receive them, and it seems like it's always offered in some kind of this or that kind of decision, if that makes sense. Like for me, it's I'm all in or I'm all out, and I got to figure it out. You know, there was no, well, maybe we can try this again. I've only been in recovery once. Every other try was just a try at clean and sober. And there's, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about clean and sober. What I'm saying is, when you step into a recovery journey, it is like the term spiritual awakening. Sometimes it can give us this subconscious picture of peace, love, and harmony, and life is all going to get better. In reality, when you have the grit to step into a recovery journey, it's sometimes going to feel like, did I make the right decision here? Like, this is so hard. But it's hard in a way that it is also blessing you in ways that you are learning who you are at your core. You're learning what you're really, really made of. You're learning that through all of this, regardless of how you handle it, you're still here and you're still getting up tomorrow and you're still going at it. You're still giving it a try. You're still working on being the best possible version of yourself. That takes grit. And I want people, because like I said, a lot of these terms are being so watered down that people are really getting shocked when they have their spiritual awakening and they realize that to whom much is given, the size of your call, the size of your passion, the size of your purpose will determine the road you will walk. But if you will stay in a state of constant hope, and that's where we come back to having a why that is bigger than you. Something that inspires you, something that becomes so important to you. For me, another part of it, other than, you know, just not wanting to know that I set a path for my son to go down the trail of addiction, or the dark and lonely road of substance addiction. That became my focus point. But I also got really, really curious about the best version of me, because I had lived within what I felt like was the absolute worst version of myself. My whole life, I felt like. So I became curious, and that curiosity, coupled with that bigger why, is the only reason that I partially sanely sit here with you today and even get to talk to you about this. Because without those two in conjunction, I don't know. I don't know, because there was really, really, it has been just nothing but big circumstance after big circumstance after big circumstance, all shifting and changing me from the inside out for the past 15 years. And I get to turn 50 years old next Wednesday. And that is a huge, huge feat for me, simply because there was never an ounce of me that ever believed there would be any possibility that I would live to see 50. And how special and amazing to me. And it doesn't scare me to grow older. I'm like anybody else. I see the stuff in the mirror. I see my body and feel my body changing. But it doesn't scare me to get older, because I've lived what were the worst parts of my life. It has to get better from here. And I want you to hold on to that hope wherever you are and whatever wild circumstance is happening for you. And if you're in the midst of walking in your dreams and your best life right now, I love it. Awesome. But if you're not, you know, and if you are, you can take this too and prepare, because we always are going to have seasons. That's the absolute in this life. And if we think there's a place where we get to where we're just happy all the time and we handle everything right, it's not possible. That's part of the blessing and the burden of being a human being. But if you can hold on to those bigger things, hold on to some hope that I promise you, if I can get here and can do this work, I promise you that you can. No matter what you think or feel about yourself, how many mistakes you think you've made, whatever it is that you are, whatever perception that you are currently living in, there is a possibility for something different, something greater, something better. And I just want you to know that. And I want you to take into this next week, when you're moving through whatever it is that comes to you in your life, whatever miracle, it's hard to say, but whatever mirrors back to you, have some awareness around it this coming up week. You know, get a jump on it in the ways that you are able to kind of see things in a different clarity, a different type of awareness, and realize that, again, if you're the one that's been set up to heal this ancestral line, then it's going to be hard, but it's going to be rewarding. And you may not actually understand the reward until 10 years later. I've only in so many ways seen what all that I went through and all that I've been through and all I still work through, how that's affected other people in my life and in my family. And I would have had no clue that I would have had anything to do with positive results in other family members' lives. And so maybe you don't get to see all that you're working through right now. Maybe you don't see why for now, but you will. You will. And it's going to take you to move through this next week and this your healing journey and your recovery journey. It's going to take you moving through with an awareness that even though this is hard, even though this is devastating, I have to hold on to that hope, that thing that's bigger than me that says, it's got to be changing me for the better. It's got to have a blessing attached to it. It has to have that. And if you can hold on to that, sometimes it makes the path a little easier. And some of the things that I just learned about in these last 3 years, man, could have been so helpful when I just thought I was in the desert alone. No one going through these things. No one, you know, it was so, I thought I was just alone. And the things that I learned in these last 3 years, it's why I like to share them, because if I would have known some of these things then, it would have helped me so much. I wouldn't have felt so alone. I wouldn't have had unrealistic expectations of things. I would have had realistic expectations of things. You know, it just would have been. So I'm so grateful for the spiritual teachers that are within my life. And how grateful I am to them to be able to guide me. And so if you, what, however it is that you believe or how you practice faith or whatever it is, if, you know, if you practice, whatever you practice, it is always helpful to have people that are further along in the journey that, you know, are willing to want to see the best for you and from you and in you. You know, it's good to have people like that in your life and to be able to reach out in a vulnerable way and say, I'm going through this, and be open to receiving. You know, you can't do that with everybody. Don't get that twisted. You can't do that with everybody. But I think that, you know, the purer you are in heart, the purer of the people that you attract in your life. And you know the ones that are in your life right now that are draining energy. You know the ones that are not helping you really ascend or move forward. You know the ones. It's just a very difficult and complex thing to let go of something that we know, maybe something we've grown very comfortable in. It's very hard to just up and let those things go. But the purer you are in heart, the more you will attract those types of people. And I wish that everyone could have a Pamela. I wish everyone could have a friend like my friend Tandy, which if y'all haven't seen her episode, it's there on the YouTube channel. Watch that replay. It's got a whole lot packed into it about, you know, just what we're going through energetically as collective, as individuals. And it's very, very moving. And I get so passionate about her work. And, you know, she's always open. Both of those people in my life are always open to share with me their experience, you know, what they've gone through, and maybe recognize where I am and give me hope and fill me up, you know, because just as we have seasons, it means that, you know, we're going to go through times that are hard. We're going to go through those winters. We're going to come out in those, you know, springs. You know, it's new growth. It's regeneration. You are nature. As nature is, so are you. You are a creation. And so take those cues from nature at how nature accepts the seasons, and accept the seasons in your life and move through them with a heart that is set on becoming, you know, living your best life. You've lived your worst. Get curious about your best life. Ask yourself, what does my best life even look like? What does that look like? Think about that. You know, and it'll be hard to imagine at first. Sometimes it'll be hard to imagine somewhere in the middle. But what would it look like? You know, keep your heart in a space that is trying to see the best for you. And again, as you heal, you will attract other healing or healed people into your life. You can't always continue to vibrate. That's why we have to change our people, places, and things. You know, because sometimes we've got our nervous system gets so trained, it just reacts. And sometimes you're in a relapse and you don't even know how you got there. Like, I wasn't even supposed to come here today, man. I don't even know how I got here. It's because our nervous system is trained in ways that if we continuously put ourselves in the same situation, feed our minds the same things with the same people in the same places, I mean, we're doing math. The odds end up. And so, but it's hard to let those relationships go. And I get that. I mean, I went through so much of that. And I miss some of those people. But they weren't going. They weren't coming. They didn't have their sights set where mine were set. And I'm not going above and saying that they're below. They're not. We're all different. You know, we all serve a purpose here, collectively in humanity, as our individual selves. And so there are people that are not supposed to take the same journey that I am, and that is completely okay. You know what I'm saying? But they did not have the same vision in mind for their lives as I did, because I didn't have another relapse left. I still don't. I don't have a relapse left in me. And so when you get to that brick wall, you got to do what you got to do. And as dangerous as it is out here, and I mean, we got to be aware of this fentanyl. We got to be highly aware, because this is dangerous. And we're losing too many people that are still in that active space, but we're losing a lot of people to accidents, you know, and this is, we got to be highly aware of who we are and where we are in the world. And we got to get extra vigilant about our peace, our harmony, and our recovery. Build your recovery battle plan every day, whether you're in minute one or year one or 10 or 20, the battle plan will change. The objectives will change. But if you get out and prepare as much as you possibly can, then the path will at least be somewhat easier, because it's a lot of energies coming up this week, a lot of things moving quickly, and John. Oh, hey, Alexis. Hey, John Palmer. Hey, Pam. I'm sorry, guys. I did see the comments. What's up, Brandy? And if there's anybody else out there watching, hey, what's up? Thanks for being here. And I appreciate y'all commenting. I can't see all of them. StreamYard doesn't show me all of them. But yeah, John says if you have a relapse, you may not have a recovery. And that is so true, 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 true. Yes, Alexis. The bigger picture, I think that's the greatest gift in my recovery, has been the ability to play the tape all the way through. That is my greatest gift in life. And sometimes I don't get it. I get in these reactionary modes. Like today, I was thinking about it, and my biggest trigger is overwhelm. Every time, overwhelm. And it's easy, especially now that when, you know, we're going through a lot of compounding stuff. I know I have been for the last year, but really it really cinched down the end of the year and is still kind of, you know, working its way out, but it's still there. But what's I even saying? Oh, overwhelm. Sorry. But overwhelm, I mean, like, it's just been so much, and it's easy to think, well, I'm not really thinking about anything. And then something happens and you go from like zero to, oh, you know, like 10 in a matter of just seconds or minutes. And that is that stored compound trauma that is living within our nervous system that is all the way up to here. And it's just barely not boiling over. So it's not taking much to get us, you know, there. And so overwhelm being my biggest trigger, like it'll snap my nervous system into just complete shutdown when it starts to happen. And my wife's the complete opposite. It overwhelm puts her in action mode. And so it's like we're two different things needing two different spaces, you know, in this journey together. And so, you know, I was just thinking about that today. And to see that bigger picture is to be able to be aware and build a strategy around yourself, you know. Listen to what the recovery mentors and stuff say. Read the books, but study yourself. Study your relapses like a playbook. Like you are practicing for the Super Bowl because this is your life and you can have a good one. No matter what the obstacles are and no matter if you place those obstacles in front of yourself, there's always, you've got breath, there's always a new chance for a new you, no matter what. But you got to be here. You got to be careful. And so, you know, study yourself. Build your battle plan around you, around where you slipped up in the past. It took me a while to really understand what overwhelm really does to me. And I'll still look for escape. Thank God it's not heroin or opiates or substance these days, but I'll look for a familiar movie, you know, and I'll spend the whole day in my chair watching familiar movies because like I'm wanting to escape. So it still lives there. It's just its intensity and its consequences have changed. And that's because of the healing. That's because of the journey. And that's the payoff for that, is that I'm not fighting heroin demons at this point. Thank God. Because that was, we all know if we know substance addiction. That is a daily, never-ending rounded MMA fight with a champ. You know, that's like getting, you know, fighting that fight every day. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful I've stayed in and I've done the work and I've done the healing and I'm still doing it because maybe this time next year, overwhelm will not even be a thing for me anymore. That's what I hope. My hope is to be peaceful in the storm. My intention is to try to be peaceful in the storm, because if I'm not, I know that I might not make it past 50, you know, and that's really concerning to me. I don't want to be like others in my family. And so I'm really concentrating on making myself more peaceful for my health, for my own health, for my own state of being. That's my recovery this year, you know? And I don't know, maybe it would help if you maybe got a theme for your recovery. Like, what do you want to work on this year? Is there a trigger that still lives in your life that you want to really look at? Do you feel safe enough to look at them? Listen, triggers are our friends, but we've got to gauge them by where we are in our journey on how we're going to confront them. You know, very early days, you may not want to stand toe to toe with your triggers. That's when you want to do your support, use your tools, reach out and all that stuff. You know, it becomes different. So in the places that you are comfortable enough and safe enough to look at your triggers, get curious about them. Why do they keep coming up? What is this? You know, does this belong to me? What else is possible? You know, all the things. Get curious about that keeps trying to say something to you. You know, do that where you feel, like I said, safe and comfortable enough to do it. But, you know, I'm building up a battle plan of my own around overwhelm, and I'm working my best, I'm my hardest, I'm doing my very best, and I know you are too. I really do. I know you guys are too. And so take hope. Go through this next week with your eyes wide open. Be aware of yourself and where you are so that you know what situations you're prepared to walk into. Don't go all high energy, anxious, and go see your friend that always makes you anxious. Don't do that. You know, take care of yourself. Know where you are. Be aware of where you are and what you need. And maybe you don't know what you need, but keep asking the question, and it has no other choice but to show itself to you. So hold on to that hope. Build something bigger than you. Have that why that's bigger than you, and compound it with some curiosity that gives you hope. And I hope that you can really get curious about the best possible version of you, the best life you can live. You know, what if you could create a life you love, what would that be? What would it be? Spend some time in that. Connect with your heart. Change your energy. Change your life. And I love you. All right. I'm already over the time I said I was going to stop for these things. But so I love you guys so much. I'm hoping to do this, you know, every Saturday night until I get Recovery Soul Food season 6. Listen, if you guys are here, leave in the comments some relevant topics, because I really want to do some topic stuff this season 6 in Recovery Soul Food. And I want to have some really awesome guests. So I'm working on it, and it's coming up, and we're going to address some things, because I've got some great guests lined up. And one in particular, we're going to look at food addiction. And I got a great guest coming on to talk about that, because in this Recovery Soul Food space, it's not all about substance. We're on a healing journey, and that covers everything, anything, any habit, anything that's taken over somebody and is crushing their life. You know, that's what we work on here. So she's going to come and talk about the food addictions. I know that can be a big thing, especially if you're on MAT, medication assisted treatment. A lot of that can become a big thing. So got her coming up for you. We're going to do great stuff. Thank you guys again. I appreciate you. Like and share and do all the things. I really appreciate you. And guess what? Next Sunday night, the Recovery Revolution Live team is getting back together. I'm not sure of the time yet. We're going to figure the time out, and we're going to post it and everything. But I cannot wait to get back together with Ashley and Jason and Brett and JR and you guys. It's been a long time, but I cannot wait. So again, next Sunday night, we're going to be live on Recovery Revolution Live, and I may be able to stream it out to our stuff too, because I want everybody to witness our reunion and talking about stuff and each other and catching up with everybody. It's going to be great. So that's all cool. I love you guys so much. Have an amazing rest of the evening and a great next week. And I'll see you next Saturday for Healing Messages with me, Reverend LC. I love you guys. Bye.